Welcome to The Disappearing Mind, a unique podcast helping you find clarity and support along your dementia journey. Now, join National Dementia Trainer and Coach, Dawn Platt, for an all-new episode.
10 tips for successful interactions with someone who lives with dementia or Alzheimer's. The way a family member or caregiver communicates with a person who has Alzheimer's disease can make all the difference. What you say can create calm or chaos. The goal should always be to prevent the person from feeling stressed, threatened, or overwhelmed. This is not always easy to do, especially when emotions, frustration, and ingrained patterns of interaction come into play. Here are some tips on what to do and what not to do. Several years ago, the Alzheimer's Association compiled communication rules that can be very useful when engaging in a conversation with a person who has Alzheimer's disease. Absolutely never argue. Instead, agree. Absolutely never reason. Instead, divert. Absolutely never shame. Instead, distract. Absolutely never lecture. Instead, reassure. Absolutely never say remember. Instead, reminisce. Absolutely never say I told you. Instead, just repeat. Absolutely never say you can't. Instead, say let's do this. Absolutely never command or demand. Instead, ask or model. Absolutely never condescend. Instead, encourage and praise. Absolutely never force. Instead, reinforce. The benefits of good communication when a person has Alzheimer's disease or related dementias. Good communication is an important part of living well after a diagnosis of dementia. It helps people with dementia to keep a sense of self, sustain relationships, and maintain their quality of life. Even as communication becomes more challenging, there are lots of ways to communicate meaningfully together. What are the benefits of good communication? Remember, when someone has dementia, they may lack the ability to save new memories all day long. They may not remember what happened earlier in the day. Some of the benefits of good communication are validating feelings, creates reassurance and enhances cooperation. It's a trust-building skill. Enhances self-esteem, reducing depersonalization. Good communication reduces isolation, depression, and loneliness. It diffuses power struggles, minimizes catastrophic behaviors. What is the general approach and attitude that a person needs to take when they're communicating with someone with Alzheimer's disease or related dementia? Remember, your mood is contagious and your attitude is everything. Smile. It's the universal language. Be calm and remain calm. Be flexible. Be non-resistant. Be guiding, not controlling. What are some nonverbal communication skills that people who have memory deficits may be reading about you? Remember, your mood is contagious. You're trying to figure out what they want, and they're trying to figure out what you want. Nonverbal communication includes facial expressions, eye contact and focus, gestures and touch, tone of voice, and body language. What are some of the verbal approaches that you might take when you're talking with someone who has Alzheimer's disease or related dementias? Use exact, brief, positive phrases. Repeat them if necessary without changing the tone or what you have said. Speak slowly. Use a warm, genuine, adult tone of voice. Use words that are familiar to them. Additional tips for communication. Reduce the background noise. Lots of background noise can be very distracting to someone who's having a hard time focusing. Demonstrate your requests with gestures, hand gestures, smiles, those sorts of things, nodding. Praise nonverbal through nods, a caring smile, or a rub on the back. If all this fails, walk away and try again later with a whole different approach. Barriers to communication. There are many barriers to communication that you may not be aware of. Rushing while speaking. No one likes you to rush through a conversation. And if someone is having difficulty understanding what you're saying, when you rush or speak rapidly, it's going to be much more difficult for them to comprehend what you're saying. Raising your voice. Raising your voice changes everything behind what you're trying to say and communicate. Demanding or commanding. People do not like demands. They don't like to be told what to do. So this is really important when you're dealing with someone who's having dementia type issues. Don't ask memory questions. Do you remember this? Do you remember that? Obviously, they don't remember, and you could put them on the spot or make them feel uncomfortable. Offering long explanations. We don't want to offer long explanations. Perhaps we need to slow down, give them a few minutes to process what's been said, not necessarily have to over-explain. Reality orientation versus living their truth. We do not always need to provide reality orientation to those that we're speaking to who have dementia. Try getting into their world. Try wondering or realizing where they're coming from. This is going to take you a lot further than trying to bring them into reality or time or be right in the point that you're making. Don't argue. Remember who is always right. When you enter their reality and live their truth, it's much easier to communicate. It makes things go much smoother, and you need to pick your battles and not always be right. Environmental barriers. There are many environmental barriers that may cause difficulty for someone who's trying to understand what you're communicating to them. So let's just go through a few of those. Fans or air conditioners. An overhead paging system. A telephone conversation in the background. Vacuum cleaner running, rapid conversation or foreign language that they do not understand, a hearing aid battery that's whistling, running water, or even flushing a toilet, loud music, traffic from the outside, people having another conversation, TV, radio, or music that's on at the same time, even something as simple as their glasses not being clean. That can really impact them. They're not focusing with their eyes, so therefore they may not be able to focus with their hearing. Live their truth. You've heard me say that. By giving answers that make sense to them, we acknowledge and validate their thoughts and feelings. This goes a long way when communicating with someone who has dementia. Stages of Alzheimer's disease. When caring for persons with Alzheimer's disease, it's important that you understand how the disease progresses. There are typically three general stages of Alzheimer's disease. Some healthcare practitioners break it down into seven, but for today's podcast, we are going to talk about three general stages: early, middle, and late stages. There are early indicators that you will see for someone who has Alzheimer's disease and other dementias. Forgetfulness is one of the very early signs that we see. Personality changes. Frustration when trying to communicate. Orientation, Sometimes the person will not know where they are, the day it is, or maybe who you are. In the early stage, some of the indicators we may see are fender benders, auto accidents, or little household accidents, difficulty with routine tasks, such as preparing a meal, housekeeping, and even paying bills. Early stage indicators also could be poor judgment or withdrawal. Why would somebody withdraw in the early stage of Alzheimer's disease or dementia? Oftentimes, they know something's wrong, but they're not really clear what it is. Sometimes it's easier to withdraw from social situations or even a hobby, such as playing golf, when you realize that maybe you can't process what you used to do commonly. Oftentimes, you'll see people withdraw from social settings, going to the club, or other hobbies that they had simply because they can no longer process it. The middle stage indicators, wandering. It's usually in the middle stages that people begin to meander or wander. They may exhibit repetitive type behaviors. These are behaviors where they repeat something, they ask questions, the same questions over and over, or they may clean out a drawer over and over. That's repetitive behavior. Increased worry and restlessness. Oftentimes, the person in middle stages is looking for something. They can't quite put their finger on it. And so that will cause some anxiety, restlessness. We call that hunting for information. Language difficulties definitely come into play in the mid stages. Perhaps they find word finding difficulties. They can't find the exact word that they want to use, or they may not understand what you're saying, even in a restaurant when they're placing an order. They may mistake what has been said or even what they've ordered. So processing, understanding what's being said, and word-finding difficulties are present in the middle stages. Sequencing difficulties, putting things together, it becomes a difficulty. Is it 1, 2, or 3, or is it 3, 4, and 5? Fuzzy thinking. Clarity just isn't always there. This may differ throughout the day. They may think clearer in the morning or in the afternoon or vice versa. Some disorientation. Where they are, who you are, all different kinds of disorientation may come into play depending on the type of dementia that someone is having. They're going to need increased assistance with activities of daily living, such as getting dressed or laying out their clothes or preparing meals or housekeeping, paying bills. All of those kinds of things are going to need some support by the time someone is in the middle stages. Withdrawal. Definitely at this point, they're no longer able to carry out the everyday things that they do. This can be quite embarrassing for someone, and so you may see them actually withdrawing or maybe even appear depressed. No one wants to be embarrassed, so please be sure that you provide assistance or cueing or prompting for someone who is in this stage of dementia. They may develop behaviors for a variety of reasons. If you can't communicate your needs, often you'll act out. I always say that behaviors are a voice. I'm saying something. Our job is to figure out what that something is. It may just be frustration on their part, or they just can't maneuver what they need to do. Eating habits change. Perhaps they forget whether they've eaten breakfast or not. Perhaps they forget what mealtime is all about. Hallucinations. Oftentimes in middle stages in certain types of dementia, we will see hallucinations where the person actually thinks, believes, sees, even can hear that something's there that's actually not there. That is not abnormal. We don't see that in every type of dementia, but it can be common in many types of dementia. Late stage indicators. By the time someone reaches the late stage of Alzheimer's disease or related dementia, they are dependent upon others for their caregiving needs. Language diminishes and they have little or no words that they use. They may be nonverbal in communication at this point and use gestures or hands or sounds. The person in late stage is usually unable to walk, might even be bedridden, almost always confused to person, place, and time. Perhaps they can no longer recognize family, friends, or even their own reflection in a mirror. In the late stages of dementia, they might even be unable to smile. Problems with swallowing and eating are definitely something that happens in the late stage of dementia. They may have a thin appearance, and at some point, they may need assistance. They may have loss of body functions and many mental abilities that they once possessed. I hope that something I've said today in the podcast has been helpful to you. Please share the podcast with friends and family members. We so enjoy having you come to visit. We hope that our resources are valuable to you. Until next time, this is Dawn Platt. Make it a joyful day.
Thank you for joining us for the Disappearing Mind podcast. We hope it's helped you find clarity and support along your journey. Be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode, visit our website to suggest future topics, and share the podcast with friends and family.